Hello, everyone, and welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notescene@gmail.com. So much to talk about this week. Big news from Asking Alexandria and Dashboard Confessional. But first, we're going to talk about Issues, who look to have split with co-vocalist and screamer Michael Bond. All right, let's go. So, Spotify coming through again with just a dope ass thing. They did their 2017 Wrapped feature, which is just so much fun, because everyone's sharing their pictures. For those who don't know, 2017 Wrapped, Spotify does this special thing at the end of the year where they make a playlist for you of your like top 200 songs you listen to, but they also make this really cool graphic for you that shows you how many minutes of music you listen to, the top artists you listen to, the top songs you listen to, the top genre, and it integrates with social media so you can share it. And just basically everybody I know, this is all this week has been, is we've been sharing our little 2017 Spotify cards, passing them around. I texted pretty much everyone I know, and my phone was lighting up with them too. It's just so much fun,
Totally. That's what I love. When I used Spotify for those first few years from like 2012 to 2015, I loved the end of the year. It's just so fun to know everything, like to have this data in front of you, even if it doesn't really matter, but it's cool to talk about and it's cool to look back on a year and how much music that you've listened to.
Right. It's funny to get caught too. Like you think you're something and then I saw somebody tweet something to the effect of like, I tell all my friends I listen to hardcore bands and Spotify just told me I only listen to Carly Rae Jepsen. You know what I mean? Like, so for me it said, okay, so my top genre, pop punk is my top genre I listen to apparently.
Man, you backed Grayscale so hard over the summer.
You
That
think
was
that's
your
what caused it?
jam. I think so, man. That
That guy
doesn't
hit that
surprise me
Grayscale
that
button many times.
much.
Okay, so some of my top artists were Falling in Reverse, Lil Uzi Vert, and Lorde. Falling in Reverse sneaking in there. Like I didn't expect that.
I wonder if
That
it was just those first few days after the album drop when we both had Hanging On repeat for like 48 hours.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So my top songs Spotify picked, I'll give you a couple of them. Let's Talk About Your Hair by Have Mercy,
Oof.
Hanging On by Falling in Reverse, and Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. Those three of my top songs of the year I played the most.
My God, it makes sense. It makes
But yeah, the
sense.
Hanging On, that song, I must have just fucking hit replay and Hanging On and a few other songs of that album.
Dude, first week that album dropped, I remember you and I just texting the bridge back and forth to each other in all
Right. Oh my
caps.
God, we still do that, fam.
We
We
do
like that
still do
doesn't
that.
stop.
Right,
Sacrifice
right.
me at your altar like a lamb to your slaughter. Oh my God, an instant classic. Yeah, I get Falling in Reverse just kind of like sneakily came through this year with like one of the best Scene albums and one of the small success stories, like
I was
things
not
kind of worked
expecting
for
it.
them.
Yeah, I was not expecting it at all. But yeah, so I'm the loser here. I still have Apple Music. I'm still paying for it every month. I absolutely hate that Apple Music doesn't give end of year stats for your personal listening habits. I think it's something that they should do, and I hope every year that they do, but I don't have any end of year stats, unfortunately, and we're gonna do our top albums of the year here coming up as we wrap up Note to Scene 2017. But I'll just go through some of my heavy rotation albums right now because on Apple Music, under your For You section, you have albums that you've been spinning a ton recently, and then they just go into your heavy rotation. So my top three heavy rotation albums of recent memory are Emery's I'm Only a Man, Devil Wears Prada with Roots Above,
Okay.
Branches Below, and Luke Bryan, What Makes You
Oh
Country?
shit. Let's not, you know what? Let's not even expose our dear listeners to this country thing that's happening between you and there's
We're going through a country phase, listeners.
No, I'm not going to confirm that, but there's stuff happening outside of Notes Scene that I'm not particularly proud of, but it's going on.
Oh my
but
god.
Yeah, so you're so am I finally, when are we finally going to get you over to Spotify, Tyler? Like, when's it going to happen?
Well, my
come over here, man.
My student membership ends when
I
graduate.
We got Rap Caviar.
I know, dude.
We got Pop Punk Is Not Dead.
Like,
we
got stuff. I want to be there. I feel very left out. I feel very left out. And I think 2018, I really want to do it when the year turns so I can get a full end of year stat at the end of 2018. But my student deal on Apple Music that I get doesn't end until I graduate in the spring.
Well,
so
I can't wait till you come over because it's just, you know.
I'm excited.
It's so fun to share. You know what I mean? And Spotify makes sharing so easy.
Totally.
All right. We got to move on, though. Let's get to listener questions this week, Tyler. We got some feedback from listener Nadia from Ottawa, Canada, who writes into notescene@gmail.com. Nadia says, came across your podcast looking for scene band news. Generally, I like it. You guys are well informed and deliver it well. I've been listening to some of your back episodes, and I'm kind of heated about a comment you guys said regarding Age and Warped Tour. I am, as of now, 34, and this summer, I guess, will be my first and last Warped Tour I am planning on going to, the Toronto date and Detroit date. You should not put an age on what music people listen to. I did not grow up listening to scene bands in high school. I was very much an old school candy kid before millennials took it over. I liked happy hardcore and drum and bass. And now that I am older, I can't think of anything worse than subjecting myself to the garbage on the radio. So I went the scene route. Interesting. I regularly go to shows in Montreal, and I'm into bands like Crown the Empire, Fit for a King, and stuff like that. Honestly, as someone who's older, I love this stuff. So just so you know, note to scene, you should not put an age bracket on music that anyone of any age can rock out to. Anyway, I love your podcast. I will keep listening, but please do not put an age limit to this music. Sincerely, an old scene kid. So Nadia, I don't like have a specific memory of us doing this. Do you, Tyler?
I think it might have been when we were talking about Warped Tour on the Going Away episode, and we were talking about age demographics and how it shifted from 14 to 17 to 19. I think that might be it, but I'm not. We may
Nadia,
have done one earlier in this
generally,
year.
Generally, Nadia, like, we speak of Warped Tour's audience as a younger audience. Like, mm-hmm. That's just kind of typically how it is. And but we've never ever. I would never, like, Tyler and I would never say if you're too old, you shouldn't listen to this music. Or if you're too young, you should. We've never, ever had that belief that any, you know, age should matter at all when it comes to music. We were probably, I mean, if what we were probably talking about in regards to Warped Tour and age is just the demographics. Warped Tour thrives with a young demographic. It's just a typical, even in larger businesses just want to hit younger demographics. We were probably just speaking on the business end. I can't, you know, you didn't point out a specific comment we made, so it's hard for me to reference, but we would never, you know what I mean? I'm in my late 20s and I'm still in the scene. You know, I'm there with you. You're not even that old. You're 34, not yet. You know what I mean? That's you're still young. So it's, we had one listener write in, wasn't he in his 40s?
Yeah, it was so cool.
He was like, I'm an OG scene dude. That dude had seen it all. So
right.
Nadia, do not feel, you know, left out in any way.
Not
being
at
34
all.
In the scene. Like, this is a place for everyone, and it's going down, and you can go down with us. You know what I mean? We're all going down together. This thing is shipping, so.
I'm sure we were talking about the commercial aspect of Warped Tour in the sense of its core demographics. So if that came across as saying that we think this music is only for a certain demographic, that's definitely not what we were going for. And if you're of older age or younger age, like, please come, because we need some help over here.
I mean, don't. We would, if you want to come, but we would advise caution because things are looking bad for this scene right now.
True.
Okay, so our next question comes in from longtime listener Aaron L. Aaron says, "Hey guys, all the talk about MCR hit my nostalgia mode. And do you remember when the Used and My Chemical Romance's cover of Under Pressure came out? This is the David Bowie and Queen song. If I remember right, they just came off the Taste of Chaos tour where it was MCR, The Used, and Under Oath. What a good tour. Also, props to the live mix on this. Sounds great. Do you remember this, Tyler, when the Under Pressure video came out?
I do not, because I was 9 years old and I had no idea who My Chemical Romance and the Used were.
I was like, I must have been like 14. I don't know, but this was the biggest deal when it came. Did you watch the video though? Did you go back and check it out?
Yeah, I did. It was.
What was that experience like for you? Just seeing those icons, you know, Bert and Gerard, sort of at their peaks, basically. You know, as far as cultural relevance goes, seeing them. For me, it was weird. It was like looking back at a temple or like a museum, just these gods, you know, mm-hmm. performing in this sacred time back when the scene was so vibrant and alive.
I don't think I've ever wanted a time machine more than I did watching this video. It kind of breaks my heart because most of the intellect that I have right now says this is never going to happen again.
Never,
and we're never going to have this ever again at that level. And that breaks my heart. But
I mean, that was on MTV straight up. You know what I mean? That was an MTV exclusive. It was on TV. It was, as someone who remember, like, I lived through it. It was on my periphery. It was a big deal. Like, that was something MCR and Used fans and the whole scene were stoked about, like, when mm-hmm. that video came out. And it was just Under Pressure. It was everywhere. I think the Used had it on their MySpace page, like, set to autoplay, too.
Oh,
so you heard
man.
It every time you went there. Yeah. And I like, they're coming off that Taste of Chaos tour. I might be wrong here, but I think the Used were headlining over MCR at that point.
No, they were.
Which is
they
crazy. Were. I mean, just how crazy is that? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Let that sink in that we were still at that stage in the scene. MCR hadn't, I think at that point where they're doing that video, Revenge had maybe went gold. Like, it had maybe sold 500,000 copies.
Right.
It hadn't, you know, quite, Helena hadn't quite taken off the way it did and everything. You know, they sold every album sell, but it's very interesting to see Bert leads the first verse, you know, because he's the bigger star at that point. That's
exactly.
crazy. Bert a bigger star than Gerard, you know?
Exactly. What a time, man. I wish we could go back. I wish
shouts
I wasn't 9 years old.
Shouts to when Bert and Gerard were friends, you know?
Like, oh my God,
that was
man.
Cool to see.
Did you see a recent interview with The Gun Show about Bert dropping some shade on Gerard subliminally?
No.
Yeah, that happened. We'll probably have to talk about that next week because it just happened.
Okay. Oh, great. We got some pretty handsome awkward going on. All right.
Dude.
It.
Yep. It was a big thing. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. All right. We thank Nadia and Aaron for writing in to notescene@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions or feedback or anything, feel free to send it that way and we'll happily talk about it on the show. But we got to move on, Tyler. And we got to hit our main story this week, which is it looks like Issues have split with their vocalist and screamer, Michael. I always want to say Michael Bone, but I think it's Michael Bon, right?
Really? I always called it Bone.
Okay, we'll go with Bone then, because that's easier to say.
Okay.
Unless this is like the most elaborate social media prank ever pulled off, it appears that Michael Bone is out of the band, right?
Yes. So it all kind of started with from a post on Reddit where this Reddit user came on and he made a post and it's titled "What Happened to Michael Bone of Issues?" And he wrote, "He removed all traces of being in Issues from all of his social media. His bio on Instagram used to be vocalist of the man band mm-hmm. Issues. Right now it's just, quote, not a public figure." That's same for his
right.
Twitter. I don't know if he ever followed the other Issues guys, but he doesn't now, and he hasn't been in any of the pictures from the studio with the rest of the band recently. That was kind of the tipping point for me. So I found this post
right.
from a producer that they were working with, or a photographer or something, and they tagged everyone except for Michael.
Yeah, and Michael and Tyler were homies, and you'd frequently see them on social media
mm-hmm.
every day, if not
mm-hmm.
every week, you know? So just his distance from the band alone is crazy, and he's been tweeting things that sound crazy. Like, he says he's, you know, I think one tweet he said he felt like everybody turned their backs on him, and it looks like it's over, like you said. Like, social media-wise, he's no longer involved with the band. I mean, can Issues survive with just Tyler Carter doing clean vocals?
I think Tyler Carter is the band. I think we might be giving too much credit to Michael, because if we go back to Tyler Carter leaving Woe Is Me and him doing his R&B solo shit that nobody cared about, do you remember how much hype there was about Tyler Carter's heavy project? It had nothing to do with Michael. Mm. It was Tyler Carter's band, and that's why people were excited. The fact that it was
Me, though. There was X Woe Is Me at play, you know?
Sure.
It wasn't just Tyler.
A little bit, but
Tyler,
you know,
is obviously way more famous than Michael. There's no doubt about that.
Sure, but the narrative wasn't Michael and Tyler's heavy band. Michael was a product of him leaving Woe Is Me, because at the time when rumors started going around that Tyler had a new heavy band, Michael was still in Woe Is Me with Hance. Remember, they dropped Vengeance, which was allegedly about Tyler, and then,
Michael was not on there for Vengeance.
Yeah, that was
no
him.
No way.
Yes.
No, all right. We're going to pause and we'll readdress that later.
Oh my God. Look at this promo picture that they had with Michael and Hance in it.
That's wild. I did not know he was on Vengeance.
Yep.
So the idea here, though, is can they survive with just Tyler Carter? You know, I wasn't asking specifically, can they survive without Michael? Does this band work with just Tyler, the clean singer, do you think?
I think if the music is there, if they can do this turntable post-hardcore that they did so well on the EP and the first full length, abso-freaking-lutely, dude. I think if they could do an entire album like the song The Worst of Them, which on Apple Music is the most popular song off of the Black Diamonds EP, which it has like two stanzas of screaming from Michael in the whole track, and the rest of it is just Tyler. Mm. And it's just this kind of fast-paced, super melodic post-hardcore gem that a lot of people have unfortunately forgot about. If they can do that, I think that they're going to be okay. I think Issues has ultimately peaked, but they could actually have more longevity without Michael in the band, as long as they embrace Tyler's strong points and the band's sonic strong points.
Do they bring in another screamer?
God, I hope not, man.
You hope not. So you want them to go full clean vocals at this point. I mean, it's like, what does this version with Tyler even sound like? I mean, turntable post-hardcore with just Tyler, but is that the past? You know, I mean, should they move into more of a R&B hip-hop thing? I mean,
well, they already left it in the past with that shitter of a new album that they dropped.
Yeah, but it still has your metalcore guitars in the background. It was just a bad album, you know what I mean?
It
wasn't
was a
really
new
a
metal
progression
version of
it wasn't a progression into a new sound. Like, you know, I was just listening to those songs. They're just watered down versions of the self-titled album. That's all they really are, without the energy or the spark or the creativity. Right. So the band are in an interesting space, you know, like self-titled, their debut album, you know, it came out, it sold 22,000 copies first week, shocked everyone, you know,
crazy.
Went on to sell like around 90,000 copies, huge for a metalcore band. You know, they were the future of metalcore and they were just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Headspace came out, it only sold 18,000 copies first week and maybe sold in the high 30s, you know, as of now, total copies.
Just a
plummet. And that record is a tough listen, like straight up. It's hard to get through. And, you know, you go back to self-titled and how perfect it was. You think about songs like Mad at Myself, Stingray Affliction, Never Lose Your Flame, all those singles. And even back, you know, to like Hooligans before that. And, you know, the Black Diamonds EP. And
holy shit.
Armadillo and all that stuff. And the beef with Woe Is Me. You just think back to all that. Like, when I look at self-titled, it's funny because I think about a song like Mad at Myself. That's a song that pretty much survives without screaming, you know.
Totally.
And it's Tyler Carter the whole time. It's very poppy. You know, it's almost Justin Bieber-y. It's almost like his Bieber moment on the album. And I could see them going forward that way. I just don't know if anyone's gonna care if
that's the problem.
You know what I mean? That's the problem. Is that our ultimate problem here? Is Issues, are they just done?
That was my thing. I think I actually might like Issues songs personally, but on a commercial level, this band they peaked. And I think we just have to deal with it at this point.
That album, the self-titled album, was just so good. They just need the problem. They didn't deliver a follow-up. And check this out. So Alt Press, only ran three stories about issues in 2017.
Oh
That's
my
a
gosh.
problem.
Yeah.
So not only did they lose all their hype from a bad album, they have not been covered or talked about. You know what I mean? If
Right?
any website's going to cover them, it's going to be all press and all, and because that's who they're tightest with. And there was nothing to talk about with issues for a whole fucking year.
They were
Like
really
they've lost even
non-existent.
more gas. You
Yep.
know, to give you some comparison, like Crown the Empire have more Spotify listeners right now than
Holy
issues. It's like
shit.
600,000 for Crown the Empire and like 500,000 for issues. Ty Accord is not even in the band anymore, right? He's out doing his own SoundCloud rap thing. He's totally rebranded. Like, dude is off the grid. Like, dude is he's a SoundCloud rapper now. He's gone. He's not in the band. I think Sky Accord is still in the band, right?
Is Sky the bassist?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Shouts to Sky for me. He's the one I think he called out that stupid motherfucker in Our Last Night for the stupid racist
Oh,
shit he was
God.
saying.
Yeah,
Remember?
right?
Yeah, he called him.
Oh, man.
Shouts to Sky for calling out that stupid motherfucker in Our Last Night. But yeah, I don't know what Tyler Carter's up to. He's not acknowledging this situation at all. I mean, I've seen him hanging out with Austin from Water Parks recently. You know, that's about it.
You know, Crown the Empire went through a situation with their old guitarist Ben, where they released a promo picture of the band, like themselves, but he wasn't in it. So it sparked all these rumors that is he in the band? Where's this guy? The fans had no idea. None of the band members were saying anything. They were just going along like nothing ever happened. But he's not in this picture that the band are branding themselves on. We didn't get confirmation until 3 months later.
It
So,
feels like a very similar situation.
and you know,
And then
they're
at the
both
same
on
time,
Rise.
you've got this woe is me thing going
Holy
on. Like said,
shit,
that band's
man.
getting back together, kind of,
Oh my
apparently. What's
God.
up with that? I mean, like,
Dude.
it's that's something that if it happens will never actually happen, but like it those dudes are all like talking again and like posting about making music, and
They're gonna have to
we're
crowdfund that
yeah.
shit. Fans are gonna get ripped off. It's
Does Michael
just.
Bone jump over to Woe Is Me again? And do we?
Oh my
It's so
God.
tired. It's so tired.
King
It's
of
so.
Amarillo Part 2.
So, right? Oh man,
Vengeance
there's that.
Part
We
2.
actually we did a really
Ugh.
good episode. You guys should go check out if you haven't listened to. Or Tyler and I, we just went back and looked at the issues. What was me beef and dissected it, and it was a fucking really good time. That
Really
episode,
fun episode.
but so. At the same time this is all going on, the band's label, Rise Records, their founder, Craig Erickson, just left the label. To give you perspective, Rise Records recently, not recently, I guess a couple of years ago, sold to BMG, the major label, bought them out, and so they were no longer an independent label, if you have thought they have been this whole time. They've been owned by a major label. But Craig stayed on as like the CEO role. And now he has retired and taken the millions he likely made from that deal, and he's gonna go start restaurants and shit. So the band's label is sort of losing their identity, which we've kind of seen that with Rise, you know, lately. They've been, you know, they're not the same metalcore Rise Records they used to be. You know, they're pushing a band like Paris. They're signing at the drive-in. They're putting out acceptance records. You know, they're not acting like the Rise we remember at all, you know. And now with Craig, who really, along with like Sean Hadorn, really helmed this label and built this label, like with that vision gone, Rise might change even more and the scene might change even more. Like, this is gonna be wild.
It's really crazy to think about because last week we were just talking about how Joey Sturgis cashed in his chips and got out of the scene.
Right.
And if
Right. And
there's
he
one more,
Sturgis was like Rise's right-hand guy as a
if there's
producer.
one
Like,
more person important to Rise's legacy besides Craig Erickson, it's Joey Sturgis because he
yeah.
formed that label's sound, like their
Right.
aesthetic.
I mean, literally, Craig and Rise sent all their bands to Joey Sturgis. You know what I mean?
Every
That was
single
how it
one of
went.
them.
All those
And
of Mice and Men records, like straight up. You know what I mean?
right, Craig is the one who signed, you know, he signed Drop Dead
The
Gorgeous
dirty
when.
secret of the first of Mice and Men record is that it was basically completely done by Joey Sturgis. Like, all of the music was Joey Sturgis. Of Mice and Men had nothing to do with it. I think
Right.
Austin, like, only wrote lyrics. Like, that was
Right. I know. But to take it back even further, Drop Dead Gorgeous signed to Rise, and they told Craig about Devil Wears Prada. Craig signed Devil Wears Prada, and Devil Wears Prada put Rise Records on the fucking map. And then they just took over the scene until, 2012, 2013, and it was just Rise's world. We were just living in it. And now those visionaries have either jumped ships or gotten kicked off. Who really knows what happens? We don't.
Now with this BMG having more control, it's like
They,
who are we gonna...
like you said, they keep signing legacy bands. They
There's
keep
someone there at
signing.
BMG that with this BMG Rise connection that wants these legacy bands there. And I don't even think they
Totally.
did a particularly good job with like the
No.
At the Drive-In reunion. It kind of didn't matter. They kind of botched it.
And I was so surprised they ended up, who knows how much vinyl was double counted, but they did 14,000 first week, and they just don't seem like a band who could do 14,000 on a new album. It just didn't line up
No,
for me.
man.
But Rise
That was
signed, like you said, they signed At the Drive-In, they signed Acceptance, they signed fucking 18 Visions. They're bringing back American Nightmare, supposedly.
Why?
Right? Why?
Yeah,
It doesn't
a
make
lot of
fucking
things just
sense.
don't make sense, and you could tell the vision of Rise was compromised, and now it's gone. And I think that's what we can take away from this. But
It's just
we got to move
depressing,
on,
man.
Tyler.
All right.
It's very depressing.
All
Everything in
right.
the scene is depressing now. I'm sorry, listeners. We got to move on to our next story, which is Asking Alexandria. The band released their third single, Alone in a Room, from their upcoming self-titled album. This follows the lead single, Into the Fire, and Ed Sheeran rapcore diss track, Where Did It Go? This is, of course, the band's first album since the return of original singer Dannii Warsnop. Gotta say, I like that they went with the BBC radio premiere on Daniel P. Carter's rock show. I just like when they do this because everybody in Britain listens, and like it just always makes it feel like more of an event when they premiere it on the Sunday rock show. Because what else are you doing on Sunday? Like, you can put on the BBC. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we've had this conversation
It makes
multiple
it feel like
times on
more
the
of an
show.
event.
I
I
know,
like
I know.
that route.
I just don't like the inaccessibility of it. I just don't like how.
Just put the BBC app on your phone. It's a great app.
Yeah, but we don't live in a world where that's exactly feasible for the general population. That takes work, man, and we're not
It
about
doesn't. Tap tap.
that.
Like tap tap. It's a
I'm
really
not
good
about
app,
that.
guys. Like
Give me the
and
link to the song. Put it on
well, they,
some sort of streaming
every
service.
website does that anyways, so you can still hear it. Every
Yeah.
website adds the stream and their news story about the song. But all right, so what do you think of this song, Tyler? Alone in a Room.
I actually don't hate it. It has a butt rock vibe to it, but it has a post-hardcore vibe to the butt rock vibe, and I'm not entirely opposed to it. I want Super Heavy Danny, and I'm disappointed that we're not getting it, but I think this song is tolerable in a way that Asking Alexandria can exist in 2017 and not put out shit like From Death to Destiny. So I was pleased with the song overall. I'm at a 7 out of 10. It's not trash and it's definitely not fantastic, but it is better than Into the Fire. I will absolutely say that. Where are you at with it, Matt?
I am at meh. This
Wow.
song to me is everything you were worried about this incarnation of the band becoming. It comes true on this song. This is just like some
I think
softcore
you're
heavy rock
wrong.
bullshit.
I think you're
Like,
wrong.
put this on From Death to Destiny. This is easily the worst of the three singles. I think like Dennis's stuff on The Black just circles around this. It's a very bad song. This is just like. But this was my worst nightmare for the band. Like, is that they were gonna sound like this, putting out this kind of music. I'm at a 5 out of 10. Loudwire called this song a reflective rocka. Like, what the fuck, man?
Okay, I would
Like,
definitely. I don't
this
even know
is
what that
just,
means, but I would not go
it's bad, bad.
that far. It's not great, but it's not
I don't like
bad.
it. I'm out on the song, but I'm still in on the band. Like, Into the
Okay.
Fire has cracked. I love that song to death. It's cracked the top 20 on rock radio. I'm really
It's
excited
at
about that.
21. It's at
It's at
21.
20. Go check
Oh, is
Mediabase.
it
That's
on
20 right
20?
now.
All right,
Yeah.
all right.
Chill out. You hate the best song. And I've come around on Where Did It Go, actually. Like, I actually enjoy that
A
song
same
now.
on that one. Same. In a weird way. In a
I've
fun
come
way.
around. Like, at first I was like, what are you doing, man? But it's kind of fun.
How ridiculously narcissistic it is in it.
Yeah.
It's
But
fun.
I've come around on it. Obviously, I love Into the Fire. This one really missed the mark for me, but I'm still in on the band because, you know, they've put out two good songs and there's more to come. But after this song got done playing, Spotify, you know, got sentient for a minute and started blasting Average American.
Ooh.
And I was just like, ah, fuck, this band was so good. Like, fuck.
What
You know what I mean? Like,
a
don't send me
time,
down
man.
another stand up and scream nostalgia trip. Like, didn't we already do that this year?
We did do that. I remember talking about it because we talked about all those fucking songs, man.
God damn it, man.
When
Okay.
every day's the weekend, that closer track
Yeah.
on there. Oh, such a jam. Shout out to Electronicore.
Yeah, just hearing Average American again, it was just like, oh God, just remembering how good this band used to be. But the Rock Sound World exclusive here, Tyler Sharp. Dennis, who sang in the band for the Black, he revealed why he left the band. Finally, he hasn't really spoken on it. And he also announced that he's re-signing to Sumerian Records for a new band. Shouts to Down and Dirty, like wherever they are. I don't know what's going on with that whole situation.
Oh no.
I'm gonna read his quote for why he left the band, which is actually kind of interesting. He says, "I don't even know where to begin with this one. It's been a year, and it was a very tough decision for me, but I had to leave the band. As you've heard before, I'm originally from the Ukraine, and there was too much shit happening pretty much back home where I'm originally from. It's a legit war zone right now. There was an incredible stress for me and my family, and I had to stop touring for a second, and I had to focus on my family and all the things that were happening back there back then." Do you believe him, Tyler? Here's the thing. The Ukraine is legit a war zone.
Yes,
I never
absolutely.
even thought about that in regards to him. Russia is destroying that country and dismantling it piece by piece. Like, you can read some of the scariest articles about it. I never even thought about that. But like, I don't know if I believe. I just don't know. Is this his story? He seems so sketchy with everything we've dealt with him in the past, from Make Me Famous to this. You know, do you believe him?
No.
Okay.
See, this is tough because
Because
what
why
he's
wouldn't he have
saying.
just told the band that in the first place? You know what I
Exactly.
mean? Why are we hearing it now?
Exactly. What he's saying is not false about what's happening over
Yes.
in Ukraine, and it's definitely a
It's
deal that
terrible.
should be dealt with respectfully when talking about it. But as far as Dennis goes, I don't think, regardless of what he or Asking Alexandria says, I don't think he left the band. I
Yeah.
think he was kicked out.
And I think if, well, thinking back to this, remember it was like they just weren't hearing from him for weeks at a time, the band had
Exactly.
said. He kind of just went off the grid. So it's like you would think if this was, you know, if the Ukraine situation, the war that they're having, the civil war with that Russia is instigating, if that was his issue, you would think he would tell the band because the band would be very understanding of that. You know, I
I
got to go home to
mean,
my family and it
Ben,
wouldn't have been an issue. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Ben being a parent, like
yeah.
absolutely he would understand that,
So
but
I don't believe this that we're hearing it now. And Rock Sound, you gotta like stop being so soft on these guys. Some of these Rock Sound softball interviews are just, they're killing me. You know, I know they're the
yeah.
UK press and it's their job to like be super UK-y about their interviews, but like, come on, you know.
Yeah,
So,
this
Danny, what's up? You know, Dennis,
right.
you know, what's up, Dennis?
Let's not forget about how he ripped off those kids and those
Yeah.
bands with those features that he just stole the money from and Ben paid them back out of his own pocket for, you
Good for Ben.
know,
Shouts to Ben. Good for Ben. All that said,
right.
I still like The Black. I think it's a good album. I think he did the best possible fill-in anyone could have for Danny. You know what I mean? I still think like respect is due there, at least on a musical level. But
I was not a fan. I did not like Down and Dirty. I did not like Make Me Famous. I'm still, I guess I'm, am I inter are we interested in what Dennis is doing now? His new band?
No, I'm done.
Can you
I'm out.
believe
You
that
know.
they're signing to Sumerian? Are you
The only
fucking
reason
kidding me?
I mean, for whatever reason, he seems to be a marketable product to Ash and Sumerian, you know, over there, because
This will be the fourth
they've,
time he's on a different
yeah, like
band in
he must make
Sumerian.
them money. Like people must actually buy his records because, you know, Down and Dirty's a band with a new singer. That was the funniest thing to me, was when like
I
that was
know.
news,
I
like
know.
Down and Dirty announced new singer and all of a sudden that band fucking mattered, you know?
Right,
Like
right.
that's hilarious. Like, but yeah, he'll get a new band and I don't care. You know, the only reason I ever even started paying attention to Make Me Famous was because they had the Attack guy on a feature. Remember that
Oh
for one of their
my
first things? Remember that
God.
shit? They hyped
Oh
that up
my
for like a month.
God.
We got the Attack bro. He's doing our clean vocals. And they just tweeted that for like a month and that got them going. But
God.
we could do this all day
What a
today.
time. Make Me Famous, dude. We could do a
Make
whole
Me
episode about
Famous.
that fucking
Oh,
band.
that
The downfall
disaster.
of Make Me Famous, and I'm writing these articles at the website I was at the time, and I'm like, this band isn't even that big. How is it
Right.
making this many waves?
It was crazy. Everyone was talking about it, but we got to move on,
All
Tyler.
right.
We got to hit our next story. Melanie Martinez, AP cover star and rising emo queen pop provocateur. This is too messy of a situation for us to dive into right now, but we want to let you know that we are aware of it. This is pretty much as bad as it gets. Like we've seen a pop star torn down overnight, her career over. And then we've seen her accuser torn down overnight. It's a war zone right now, and we need to wait for the smoke to clear and have some good journalists do some real work here, if not legal entities, to find some answers. We're going to wait for the facts to become more clear on this one before we offer any sort of opinion, you know.
For
But
sure.
that being said, this is just the worst thing that happened and seemed to have happened in the worst way. You know, that's really all I have to say at this moment.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think some of our listeners listen to the show to actually be informed. Like they listen outside of our opinions just to see what's going on in the music scene, what news is happening. So this is obviously a news story. So I thought it was important that we at least acknowledge what's happening. But at this moment, there's just no grounds for us to comment on the situation or anything like that. So,
We are in new territory, people. I
right.
mean, it is. Journalism and coverage and just everything is coming into question here. I just don't even know where this one goes, what effects it creates, and what lives it ruins, for that matter. You know, it's
Right.
just, it's, it, it, there's just so much up in the air right now. We gotta wait. I need answers, you know? Tyler and I need answers. You know, we need
Right.
facts and answers before we dive into this one. So we're gonna move on to our next story, which is Dashboard Confessional. Dashboard Confessional announced a tour this week with Beach Slang. Why? Like, seriously, why? But that's not what really we're here to talk about, you know? We're here to talk about one of the foundational emo bands has relaunched with a new label, a new single, and a new album. Crooked Shadows. It's their first new LP in 8 years. It's coming out in February on Fueled by Ramen. The song is called We Fight. What do you think about it, Tyler Sharp?
I don't hate it, and I know that a lot of OG Dashboard fans hate this song because it doesn't sound like OG Dashboard, and I think that's why I like it, because I don't like OG Dashboard. call me out, come at me on Twitter, do what you have to. I'm just not a fan of Dashboard Confessional, and I think this song is a great indie rock song. Outside of the context of Dashboard Confessional, when you don't compare it to their peak, I think this is a great proposal for them in 2017 as far as like alternative music goes. And Fueled by Ramen sent it to alternative radio right away, and I kept an eye on it when it broke into the top 50. And the past 2 weeks, it has jumped 10 spots every week. And so far, right now, it's sitting at 23. I think there's a shot this could break into the top 10 and be an alternative radio hit, which is crazy to think about in 2017. We just, dude, we never know what this year is going to throw at us, but I gotta
Said it's at
hear.
23.
Yeah, it's at 23 right now.
Okay, I thought it was at 30, but
No, it's up to 23 right
we
now.
might have got different issues in media base this week. We seem to be off on our numbers a little bit, but
Okay. All right. I want to know, as an OG Dashboard fan, Matt, what do you think of this song?
okay, let me just like adjust my clothes. Let me just like sit back in my chair and just get ready for this. So we fight. is a good, empowering anthem song.
Okay.
But it's not Dashboard.
Fair.
But it kind of is Dashboard.
Yes.
And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm kind of in the same spot with this song as I am with 30 Seconds to Mars's Walk on Water. Like, it's a different thing, but it's fresh, and I fuck with it. Like, you kind of nailed it when you said it's an interesting proposal for the band. Like, to me, this is what Dashboard should sound like in 2017.
Right.
I am at a 7.5 out of 10 on the song. Where are you?
I'm right around there. I'm at like a 7.7, 7.8. We're getting up there in the 8 range. I don't think it'll make it on my Songs of the Year list, but I like this idea. I like this
just
idea.
Just like that 30 Seconds to Mars song
right.
is good. It's
definitely
good. It's an empowering anthem,
yes.
Right? And it's not, you know, normally what Dashboard does, but it just kind of works. And I agree with you on, I can see this doing well at radio, which gets me really excited because we'll have that emo voice again.
Right.
Possibly in the top 10 of all radio. That's really exciting.
Dude,
you know, his voice back there again.
I wasn't even a Dashboard fan growing up. I've never liked Chris Carrabba, even when he was in Further Seems Forever. And that's like a default band for me because I'm a tooth and nail diehard. But just to be able to have this conversation, I really hope this song just explodes.
I think it has potential, like just like
so
30 Seconds to Mars did. And, you know, good for them. They got the premiere of it on Apple Beats One with Zane Lowe. In the interview, which, you know, that Zane Lowe interview is usually reserved for pop stars. So
right.
Like, that's pretty, you know, that's a good push. Rolling Stone covered This as News. They covered the tour as news. Rolling Stone is like in on Dashboard being back. I love that. You know what I mean?
Because,
you know, they choose who they're going to ignore. Rolling Stone's like, fuck yeah, we're in on this. The lyric in the song, too, that like hit me, he said, there's still a kid somewhere that needs to hear this. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
There is. Like, Dashboard's back.
That's
somebody
fucking awesome.
Somebody needs to hear this still.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. You know, I mean, it's no Glory Days. Like, Screaming Infidelities, Hands Down, Vindicated, Don't Wait. You know, but it's a new, fresh take for the band that I'm kind of excited about. I think their last album did 30,000 copies first week in 2009. That was Alter the Ending. And but it fell off and went nowhere. And that album was a big drop from their early albums.
Mm-hmm.
You think their three early albums were true gold records. They all went gold, three of them. And with smash singles, and they easily, each of them sold over 100,000 first week. So you compare that to what they did on their last record. That band fell off hard. You know, A Mark Emission, I think, will go platinum any minute now. Like, it's close to 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It was at like 900,000 a few years ago. So, you know, that's got to be coming around the corner for the band, their first platinum record. But
the
new album only has 9 songs, which I back. I'm all
totally,
about that.
Totally.
Concise. Give me 9 really good songs. Don't give me 13, you know, and 5 of them are mediocre.
Totally.
I'm all about 9 to 10, 9 to 11. You know what I mean? I like that.
Uh-huh. It's just crazy to think Dashboard might have slipped into that Portugal the Man stream, and they might be taking it right to the top.
I was happy, man. Don't do that.
Oh my god, they're a scene band. We have to be happy for them.
This song is so much better than that Portugal the Man song.
No, not at all. That Portugal the Man song's over an 8.
That is my fuck that band, man. Fuck Portugal the Man, man.
That's such bullshit. That we
fuck
have to be happy
band,
for
man.
That band.
I
if we're talking
wait,
about
I mean,
keeping the scene happy, we have to be happy for Portugal the Man.
I can't wait for them to never have a single again.
They
I can't wait for that to be a one and done.
And Fearless, man. Sure, they were never a quote unquote scene band, but they existed in the scene. We have to be happy for that.
I just can't stand that song, and I despise it, and I despise them for making me listen to it, and I can't wait till we never have to hear from them again. Like, I don't want them to be the band to bring rock back.
You are so
that wasn't
wrong.
That wasn't their choice. That wasn't their role. And but here that we have to read every fucking article. Oh, how Portugal the Man brought rock back to radio. Oh my god. You know what I mean? Like, Billboard's just having a wet dream over it. Like, oh, I can't take
they
it.
They were
sorry,
a band
man.
That existed in the scene. We have to be happy for them.
They
the
are
fact that, the fact that I rolled up to my Thanksgiving family dinner and my aunt is singing this song, who has never heard of this band before, is a miracle to me.
All right, screw that song. You can love it. Back to what were we saying about Dashboard?
They have a potential to slip into the Portugal the Man success stream.
No, I don't see them going to number one on top 40.
No,
If that's what you're implying. No,
but
I see them
no,
going number one on all.
it's
Portugal
not.
the Man, that's a whole nother thing. Like, they went to pop
I
radio.
was saying in the alternative
I
radio
see them going the
context.
30 Seconds to Mars route. Their number 30 Seconds to Mars are number one on all
Right,
radio. I
right.
could see Dashboard pulling that off with this, or at least top 10.
I think they have a shot. And I'm still gonna back Portugal the Man, but we gotta move on, Matt.
Fuck that band, man.
Fuck that band. You're so
Fuck that.
wrong.
That's one of
You're
our
so
coffee mugs
wrong.
we're gonna make. When we make Note to Scene coffee mugs, fuck Portugal the Man. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But we can attach a little Matt to the end of it, so the band note, not from Tyler, a little dash Matt at the end.
No, I rode for you, Portugal the Man. I rode for you.
You don't care enough to release a We Love Portugal the Man mug, do you? Like
No,
to
not at
counter?
all.
Okay, you
No.
don't care that much.
We have to be happy for him. Why can't you just be happy for him?
I can't,
It's
okay? I just
it's okay, Matt. I know this is a sad,
can't
sad
do
time
it.
for the scene, and we're all depressed and we're all angry, but we have to be happy for them.
They're just not that good. They're not good at music. Like, I just can't
That
do it.
song is good at music.
No. Okay. We can't get stuck on this, so I'm gonna move into our next story,
Right.
which is Tumblr. Tumblr revealed, this is always really fun. Tumblr revealed the most reblogged bands of 2017. There's a lot of scene rep in there, so I thought we should kind of go through like the top 20 real quick and just look at which bands made it. The number one most reblogged band, which this is shocking to me, is the Gorillaz. How
Absolutely
the fuck did that
shocking.
happen?
They come
Like,
back and they drop an album.
that's not a Tumblr band.
Is it because of the artwork? Is that it?
I don't,
Like, I was having this
Are they like,
conversation with my brother earlier this year when when the comeback was happening. When you and I would post about the Gorillaz on AP, they'd get like 30,000 shares because we just use the right
Well, yeah, huge
photo.
band, right?
But
And also
Scene
just like
Kids don't.
gorillas.
Like, Scene Kids, Tumblr Kids, they don't actually like this band. They like
No,
the idea of this
they like
band.
that, they like Feel Good Inc. You know
Right,
what I mean? They
exactly.
like,
Everyone likes that song. It's arguably the best song ever.
they're one of those oh shit bands, like oh shit, they're coming back, you know, but nobody cares when they actually do come back.
So I
But
think it's the fact that their characters look like anime characters, and there's a big anime world on Tumblr.
I guess. Okay, so number two is 21 Pilots. That probably should have been number one when you
I
think about it. You know what I mean?
before I
Like,
clicked on this list, I would have put money on it to say
I
that it
mean,
was 21
there are
Pilots at number
large
one.
factions of the skeleton clique that like exclusively live in Tumblr. So, you
Uh-huh.
know, it's like it's kind of a home base for 21 Pilots.
Totally.
It's kind of where they got a lot of their early kindling going with their career. So makes sense. Fifth Harmony, okay, I
That was
guess.
super random. Super random.
Random, but I guess. I mean, Fifth Harmony have like, what are they called? The Harmonizers. They're a pretty loyal fan base, and Tumblr tends to be where those fan bases with names kind of converge. It's like a
For sure.
rallying point.
For
One
sure.
Direction, why? Why at this point? Like, we've got so much other going on, so much else going on. Literally every member of that band has their own thing going on, and we're gonna do 1D.
Bring it
There's
on,
still
man.
1D fandom, really?
I mean, if you look at the top solo artists on Tumblr of the year, it's Harry Styles. So,
But who cares about 1D anymore? It's like so over. Like,
I care about 1D, man.
that's a reunion that's never happening, man.
Oh, what's gonna happen first, MyChem or 1D? Bullshit.
My chem's happening. 1D is,
Bullshit.
dude, they are so off in their own directions and having real
For a
success.
few years, it'll happen. They'll go through a few cycles, they'll
Dude,
decline.
Harry is the last great rock star. He's cemented himself as that. And the two, I call them the lesser 1Ders. I always mix them up. Neil and
Liam.
Liam, yeah, they're having great pop success. They're like the Charlie Puths of this band.
Ugh.
And Zayn is, you know, he's huge. He had a huge hit with Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? And the other guy's coming up now. He's gonna do his pop punk thing. But okay, so 5 Seconds of Summer are on here, which is surprising because I thought that band was over.
Yeah, we had a 5 Seconds of Summerless year in 2017. It's like, where the
Yeah,
fuck
which
is this
is
band? I guess their
what the
fans
fuck
are on
happened, you
Tumblr.
know?
I guess the
Come on,
fans are on
guys.
Tumblr.
I wrote an article saying you were gonna be the biggest thing ever. Like, I'm waiting, you know, and
Yeah, I
it's like
think you're gonna have to go back on your words on that one, man.
Come on, guys, we're waiting. Like, what happened? It was.
The last album wasn't what it needed to be.
Yeah, but like you put out another one. It's just strange. Little Mix. You know about Little Mix?
I vaguely know about that band. I should
British
probably
girl
be.
band, and they're fucking huge globally. Like
Okay.
they're like the Fifth Harmony of the world. Like
Okay.
they just like dominate.
They don't
Paramore
have, but real quick on Lil Mix, they don't have much success over here, do they? Or am I
in the
wrong?
US?
Yeah.
No, not in the US,
Okay,
no.
okay.
But globally they dominate.
Okay.
Paramore at number 8.
Makes sense. They
So
dropped an album with all those GIFs, and
yeah,
they're very
1975
aesthetically
at
pleasing.
number 9.
Makes sense. Aesthetically pleasing.
My Chemical Romance at number 10.
Just forever living
That's
on.
great. Just forever, forever, forever. We'll never die. All time low around here. Arctic Monkeys at 15.
What the
Why?
hell?
That makes no sense, right?
I haven't heard that name in like 10 years.
This is Paris at number 18. Does this seem too low to you?
Yes,
Yeah, you think Paris
absolutely.
would be a little higher. Like Lynn is so iconicized, you know,
Yes, especially
graphic.
with a new album coming out this year, they absolutely need to be higher.
Owl City at 19. Like what?
Who the hell's
Why?
still talking about that band?
I know. I thought that was over.
I don't know. Maybe they had that one post go viral on Tumblr, and that's the only reason they're on this. He had a Tumblr, or he had a post go viral this year describing how it was physically possible to hug 10,000 lightning bugs or some bullshit. I don't know. It was pretty crazy.
That's fucking wonderful, Tyler Sharp. Let's move on to our pop story.
All right.
After taking over the world with her fire single Havana, Camila Cabello has finally announced her debut album titled Camila. And she released two singles, Real Friends and Never Gonna Be the Same. For those who don't know, we've had like an interesting history with Camila on this show. You know, like I kind of heard she was going to be the next one, like the chosen one, next pop star. So we kind of followed her closely when like her early single leaked, and then I was all in at the launch of "Crying in the Club," which ultimately went nowhere. And then we were kind of there, you know, with her for Havana, which took over the fucking world, and that was a whole thing to live through. But you know, she left Fifth Harmony. I wouldn't say she was the leader of that band, you know, but she was definitely the star of that band. Like she had the best voice, you know, and she clearly had the best range, and she just had like that it factor. So everybody kind of knew she was going to be a big star. But I guess let's talk about these songs real quick. Let's start with Real Friends. What are your thoughts on that, Tyler? Real quick.
So I actually like this song
Okay.
pretty well. I think it's an interesting song because it's not just like both of these songs are kind of interesting in the fact that they're not outright bangers, but I misjudged Camila on Havana. I didn't like that song at all right off the bat. I was like, what are we doing? Like what's going on? But I didn't understand that kind of Latino movement that was going on through the US. So now that song's at number one and I've drilled it into my brain, I totally understand it. Both of these songs, Real Friends and Never Be the Same, don't have that same vibe to it, but they're in their own kind of lane. Real Friends is like, it's not this anthem that I kind of want from Camila, but I'm starting to not expect that from pop stars. And I'm just kind of going more along with the flow. So I can't
What's your
really
score?
get over the fact that it's called Real Friends because
Yeah.
as a scene kid, we just always associate that with pop punk. So that's an
I have to
interesting
deal with
angle.
that with the band and the Kanye West song, so
Oh, okay.
it's
Yep,
just
for
yeah,
sure.
it's very annoying. What's your score?
I'm at a 6.5 right now. It's
Okay, so
not
kind of there, yeah.
terrible, but it's not banger
I
material.
don't like this song. I was just It's too low key for me. I was very disappointed. You know me, this is my girl, like, right? I've been riding for her since the beginning, and I've been really excited. I'm just disappointed by it. This is like a chilling on the beach song, and it's like cold right now. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. There's no real hook. I'm at a 5.5 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the next song, Never Gonna Be the Same. She put out two. What do you think of this one, Tyler?
I like this song as well in the same lane that I like Real Friends, but what the hell is going on in that pre-chorus, man? That is like some super grating vocal shit going on there, and I don't like it at all. She goes way like over the top falsetto, almost to like a nails on a chalkboard kind of whimper, and I'm not about that. The chorus is just kind of okay. These are two very relaxed songs, and I find it interesting that they kind of chose these instead of an upbeat Banger Nation-ish, Wolves-y, Selena Gomez-y, Demi Lovato, just outright anthem song that has been very popular in pop music in the last 2 years. But they've proved me wrong with Havana. I did not think that song was going to be a hit. I remember when that dropped and I asked you, I'm like, Matt, what's going on with your girl? What's going on here?
I was like, heat, man. Havana heat wave, dog.
Right, right. So they proved me wrong here. I wouldn't be surprised if they proved me wrong on either of these songs, but if I had to put money down, I'd say that neither of these are going to be number one hits. They definitely won't have the success that Havana has. I'm at a 6 with this song.
Okay, so for me, this song is just okay. Mm-hmm. I'm at a 6 out of 10 as well. Disappointed. It's kind of like very, you got like a lot of vibey, low-key Lord meets new Taylor Swift moments on this one, kind of clashing. And it almost kind of feels like she's kind of trying to recapture the Bad Things wave on this song a little bit. I kind of got that's the kind of vibe I got from it. This is also the one that's being sent to radio, by the way.
Oh,
of the two. So I like this one better than the other one, but like not by much. So overall, I'm pretty disappointed here. I mean, like, Havana was such a banger, such a success. I'm like, why aren't you just doing more of that? You know, why aren't you just like Havana it up, you know, heat it up. Let's do the Latin pop thing. And this has me a little worried, you know. I was worried about Camila when Crying in the Club came out, and that didn't go anywhere. And then I was super happy when Havana took off, and now I'm like, I don't know.
I know. We'll see. They launched with a misstep, Crying in the Club.
And they rebounded so...
Like, I didn't think they were going to be able to.
Have you ever seen a better rebound in the history of music?
I didn't think they were
going
to be able to, man.
To go from a misstep to the biggest song, one of the biggest songs of the year, it's like, I've never seen that before.
Pretty
it's like, don't blow it.
Right.
Don't blow it.
And
you know,
it makes you feel like they're kind of blowing it again.
You need to be dropping napalm right now, you know? This needs to be napalm, and it's not. And that's a problem. And ultimately, I really like her as a singer, and I want to see that. So that's where I am.
Luis Fonsi's dropping them, man. He just dropped Despacito Part 2. He is all about it. He is all fucking about
Camila,
it.
Camila, where is your Havana Part 2? Or, you know, your Mexico City? Or, you know, whatever romantically, you know, Latin name city you can name a song after.
Right? Romantic
Drop your
novel.
Barcelona. You know, drop your...
adult whatever, romantic San, novel turned
yeah,
music.
Drop that's... San Juan, whatever...
East Atlanta. Just name a song East Atlanta now.
There you go. It's interesting, though. So it took you a long time to come around Havana, right?
Oh, dude, I had to drill it into my head. But once I got it, I totally got it. And I could. There was a day not too long ago where I couldn't stop singing that chorus.
Like, you could see if you were young and in love.
Oh,
there's something.
Totally.
You know, it's just like a young love, charming, summery song, you know? It was good
Absolutely.
For summer.
Absolutely.
Okay, we got to move on, Tyler, to our next story, which is, okay, so during a DJ set at Emo Night, band founder Matt Good deadass leaked a new From First to Last song featuring Sonny Moore, a.k.a. Skrillex, back on vocals. Earlier this year, of course, we got Make War, which I believe is Tyler Sharp's favorite song of the year. Which was Sonny's first song with the band since 2006's album Heroin. You know, it's hard to tell from these live DJ set videos we've seen, but this sounds like everything I want from the band, and it's got me really anxious and excited.
So, first off, haven't decided, so this isn't in concrete, that Make War is my song of the year, but it'll definitely be on the list. Okay.
At one point it was, I
think. At one point, it absolutely, halfway through the year, Make War was it. But I've had some shuffling in my list, but we'll talk about that 2 episodes from now, 2 weeks. So this song dropped right when we got done recording last week's episode. And as soon as Matt and I turned our phones back on after we were done recording, I just got flooded with notifications about new From First to Last, new From First to Last. And they were just pouring in. And I was like, oh, my God, Matt, look what the fuck we just missed. And I was super disappointed that it was only a live recording. Please, God, drop this song at some point before the end of the year. I really need this song in my life. I Shouts to Apple for the new screen recording feature on iPhones. I went directly to, from first to last, Instagram story. I screen recorded the whole thing. It's not the best quality, but you can get the gist of the song. And I was singing it for the next 2 days in a row, that Surrender chorus. From what I understand, the song called Surrender. I think this is Banger Nation, man.
Yeah. It could be. We don't know. We got, you know, we got to hear the, we got to hear full release one. We got to reserve judgment. But from what I've heard so far, I think it's everything that I want.
I think so.
We've been, you know, we know a tour is coming. It's pretty much confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, unofficially. And now we're starting to hear some shit like they're on some new shit. Like there's a full album recorded and they're ready to dominate 2018, which lines up with everything. The fact that, you know, they're signed to Sonny's management,
right.
They're signed to his label, they're signed to his publicist. It's all lining up. I think we're going to get a lot from first to last in 2018. And Sonny was even randomly at like some bar karaokeing Make War this week. Did you see that shit?
Dude, I couldn't believe it. What the hell was that?
He's so stoked on it.
I just wish it wouldn't be taking him so fucking long. Like, we had to suffer through 2017. Come on, Sonny. I don't want to seem like an entitled asshole, but we need this, man. The scene needs you right now.
Yeah. He's a busy man, though. Skrillex.
He is.
Okay,
he is.
All right. Real quick, Tyler, before we go. Pure Noise Records band Boston Manor released a new single, Drowning Gold. What do you think of it?
It's shit. This band is never going to go anywhere. It's time to stop talking about them.
Okay. I like this song. I'm at like a 7.3 out of 10.
Ugh.
Very emo. To me, it sounds like an edgier version of Jimmy Eat World. I've liked a couple songs from this band. Like, I've liked Leica, Burn You Up before. You know, they're part of this small group of bands that, like, you gotta give it to them. You gotta give props. Like, Have Mercy, Will Away, Can't Swim, Movements, Seaway. They're small, but they're, like, they're still doing it. You know what I mean? You gotta give props.
Them credit, like, for trying.
The boat is taking on water, and they're still playing their instrument. You know what I mean? Like, they're the band on the Titanic who are still playing as the Titanic sinking.
Yep.
So just another small band, up-and-coming band I'm a little excited about. I like the single. What's your score, Tyler?
I'm at a 4.
Okay. I'm at a 7.3.
All right.
And that's where we end Note to Scene this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you enjoy the show, please take the time to rate us on Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions for us, send them in to notescene@gmail.com, and we will see you next week.